I am so excited about my guests today. When we first started homeschooling, we were the first homeschoolers in our county, and the whole county took it personally. But after coming into contact with the product, the stuff that this genius produced, our oldest started regurgitating history in an amazing manner.
Wow.
So that everybody in the community was all of a sudden very impressed with what we were doing and thought I was the best homeschool mom ever. You may hear birds in the background, my husband on the tractor, the children playing with the dogs. This is Real Life on the Prairie with Donita Fogelman of prairie-trail.com, weathering the dust storms of life with God's divine help. And I have with me today, Diana Waring.
Hi.
I am so glad to have you today.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, Donita. This is really fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Another homeschool family, my mentor in homeschooling, they had started homeschooling in the 80s, and they lived in the neighboring county, and we invested in what in the world's going on together.
Oh,
and shared it between our families. And our oldest is auditory. So we would listen to those. It was cassette tapes. We would listen to those cassette tapes while we're out in the boonies, you know, so going to the grocery store is an hour drive. So, we would listen to those tapes while we were going, and I could call that school in the process, you know?
Yes.
And she did. She started regurgitating history that nobody else remembered learning in school.
Wow.
It was wonderful. I had people who had been telling me, well, when are you going to let those kids go to school? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to make them go to school. And once she started doing that, they were like, I had little ladies around the neighborhood apologizing to me saying, I really didn't think much of this homeschooling thing. But wow, you're doing an amazing job. I wasn't doing a blasted thing, but driving.
Wow.
It was
wow. I think I need to, you know, bottle you up, Donita, and put you everywhere.
Marketing.
Yes, that's right.
I probably go through it probably every week. I suggest your stuff to someone.
Oh, thank you.
I'm probably one of your favorite, one of your best fans.
Oh, I am so delighted to hear that. What a joy. it's not always, you know, this much fun to be interviewed by someone. I'm already going, wow, okay, what do you want to talk about? Yeah.
So how did you come up with the idea to do that audio series?
That is such a great question. And the reality is, when I started going to homeschool conventions, it was a friend had said, oh, Diana, if you submit your idea for a workshop at a convention, this was when we lived in Washington State, she said, they'll pay you $50. Now, this is back a long time ago. This is like 1989.
Right, right.
She said, they'll pay you $50 and pay your gas. And I went, oh my gosh. And I said, well, what would I teach? And she said, I have no idea. But she was really organized kind of person. And she'd been at the last convention. And so she pulled out the little thing that showed from 1988 what classes had been offered. And I got this crazy idea looking at it. I said, well, I love history and I love music. And I had been teaching kids folk music on the guitar. And I realized, you know, as I was doing that, the kids just no longer remembered folk music at all. This is a long way to get to the answer to your question. I'm sorry.
It's perfect.
I always have to give the context, right? I said, oh, what if I combined American history and American folk music? Because I knew a lot of American folk songs. We're obviously connected to American history and I love history. And so I submitted that idea. I also submitted several other ones, but this was the one that they said, oh, we love this. Well, yeah, we'd like to have you come speak. And so in that, that was kind of the launching pad for me to start speaking to homeschool conventions and homeschool people, not just conventions, but homeschool people, and doing all this music and this history stuff and everything. Well, as that continued and I was invited to speak in different parts of the country, we said, well, and we were homeschooling our own children at that point, and I was teaching them world history. And so I was just having such an amazing time, so many aha moments going, wow, did you have any idea? And I would share that with people at conventions and they'd go, oh, wow. And so then I started doing workshops on that, like ancient civilizations kind of thing and how that fit with the Bible. And I was doing that and people were loving it. And then, so like it was standing room only. I would do those workshops. People would just be, you know, wall to wall and so excited. And then I had one of the homeschool convention organizers come to me. That wasn't the organizer. It was the person who was selling the tapes because they would record the workshops at the conventions. Right. Yeah. And that person said to me, oh, Diana, we love when you show up because we sell so many of your recordings of your lectures or your workshops. And I said, oh, because I wasn't getting any money from it. And my husband was a public school teacher and I, you know, I had no income. So it was like, well, how do we do this? And a friend said, oh, just go and record it, get at your church, get several homeschoolers together and just record it using the technology of the church. So the cassette tapes that you listen to, they were just me talking to a group of homeschoolers in our church and capturing that. And then, you know, it wasn't the best recordings, but that's what we had at that point, right?
Right.
And it was all live. So I was wildly crazy and excited and it was really fun. And from there, I just continued on. And people then said, oh, we love your tapes. What curriculum do you use? And I said, oh, well, we kind of use a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then the next year I went back and they said, well, we tried all that. We don't like it. We want what you do. And I went, they said, will you write a curriculum? I thought, well, I don't like curriculum. I just went, that just sounds terrible. But eventually we found a way. Well, I kept being pressured by people and finally felt like the Lord was really putting it on our hearts to do. And the wild thing was that I said, okay, well, first I told my husband, I said, you've got to write it because you're the teacher. And he said, I don't know the subject matter. I can't write it. And I went, well, I don't know how to write curriculum. I can't do it. And so we prayed, which is, you know, always the best idea.
The best thing. Yes.
What a surprise, right? And it was so cool because we began to run into things that we'd already connected with about different kinds of learners. But we ran into some various curriculums and various ideas about how to do curriculum based on how kids are different, you know, to allow all the kids to participate. So that's how we started doing all this crazy stuff. And here I am, you know, let's see, how long is this? That was 1989.
We don't want to do the math. Yeah, let's
We're talking a long time ago. And I'm still doing it. You see all these books back here? Those are my world history and American history, because I'm working on American history right now. These are my books, you know, and I have more. I've got to find room for. So, yeah, I'm still doing this. I still love it.
You can hear your enthusiasm in the tapes. You can absolutely. And I upgraded from the tapes to the CDs because I told my husband, I said, this is just worth it. And we've got 15 years difference between our oldest and our youngest. So I knew we were going to be using them for a long time. So we did upgrade. And I ended up with the same type of situation with my book on the constellations. We scrapbooked through the constellations. And I had people stopping by and seeing what we were doing. And I had a blog at that time that I was posting it on. They're like, you've got to put this in a curriculum. And I'm the same way. I don't like curriculum either. I like references, you know?
Yes.
And So yeah, I made a curriculum, and I've had more adults buy my stuff and use it for Bible study than actually for, wow. Because homeschoolers tend to be a little afraid of the constellations. They think zodiac, you know, but it's just so much fun. It's wow. Just, I hated history in school. I absolutely hated it. It was always a monotone coach teaching and all the dry textbook stuff. And I just hated it. But when we started homeschooling, history came alive. And you really made a huge difference with that. And I love the way you said the folk music. I love yeah. that, because then I ended up on one of your promotional teams.
I remember, yeah.
The Little House on the Prairie, which yeah. is, that was my favorite TV show. And I'm really laid back. I was really shy when my husband and I got married. He's the outgoing one, and I would hide behind him whenever we met new people. Really, really shy. So people don't believe it, but really, I was really shy. And on that team, the actor for Alonzo Wilder in the TV
Dean
show,
Butler, yeah, was,
yes. Yep. And I actually did an excited happy dance, and my family thought I was going crazy. It was so much fun. And then all that, yeah, we love the folk music. That's our favorite stuff. We had so much fun with that promotion. It was.
But I think, you know, one of the interesting things, if we can just camp there for a minute, is that people often think about learning when it's academics. They think about learning as something just really just grit your teeth. This is hard. It's hard for everybody. This is not supposed to be fun, you know? And we say, wait, the brain science, the stuff that people who study the brain and study learning having to do with the brain, all that they know about the brain. Now they say that if you are engaged in it, if it's interesting, if everything lights up in the brain, then you actually remember it. It makes connections. It's there. It doesn't just go into the short-term memory and fall out again. So if we can have fun, if we can sing the songs and learn the story and just, or whatever it is we're doing, you know, yes. The folk music was really fun, but there are lots of other ways to do it.
Oh yeah. If the crafts. Do
that, yes.
There's
yes.
So many.
Yes.
Ideas. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And it's not just for little kids. That's the thing that, again, because I've been doing this for a long time, I've had so many people that just kind of, they roll their eyes at the idea that, you know, high school students would be doing something fun. You know, this is not proper. And I just go, you know, sorry, but the brain, it doesn't matter your age, the brain, if it's excited, if it's engaged, if it's interested, lots of things happen. And we want that for our high school students as well, I think.
I think we need to quit thinking of education as being in a certain age group. Yes. And learning should be lifelong. Our yes. oldest is 30 now.
Congratulations.
And she still gets so excited whenever she digs up some little gem of history and, wow. you know, just telling the rest of us about it or blogging about it or putting it in what she's an author now or putting it in one of her books. You know, she's like, yeah. oh my goodness, I found out this today. That is the goal to me. It's not that they, you know, get this number on a test or that right. they go to college and have this career or something. No, the goal is that they can continue learning and be excited about it for the rest of their lives.
And I want to just throw in there too, because I was thinking about this the other day. I absolutely agree with everything you just said. But the interesting thing about when we think about careers and stuff is that with all the incredible changing, the rapidly technological changes, all the stuff that's happening and things that are happening to jobs that they seemed so secure and then they're changed. And what do people do when those things change? And the really amazing thing is this loving learning, lifelong learners who love to learn and are excited to learn. Those are the people that have the ability to adapt and to say, okay, well, what, how could I take this then and morph it into that and make a career out of that? That is, I remember watching a TED Talk maybe 10 or 15 years ago about somebody who was talking about that very thing, that it's so important that our kids have that love of learning and that ability to dig in and learn for themselves, because that will not only be, you know, provide for a life that is rich and full and satisfying in so many ways and how they can serve others and all that, but also can make a big difference in their careers. So,
definitely
throw that out.
Definitely. You can tell the difference between worldview and attitude of the people struggling today to adapt and being able to be resourceful and adaptable to all. Yes, I absolutely agree. And making it fun when they're younger and teaching them actual life skills.
That
the history goes with, you know, I'm seeing the millennials now popping up on YouTube and stuff, you know, because they're having to adapt and they're going back and they're digging up things in history, you know, whether it's in costuming or, you know, all kinds of different things. And they're digging up information that they're like, oh, we thought those people had it so bad. But actually, those people were smart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we don't come from a bunch of idiots.
No.
You know, and evolution in public school has been trying to teach children for so long that we're evolving. But the proof is in the pudding. It's just the opposite. We're not creating the same beautiful cathedrals and things today that they were in the 15, 1600s. You know, we can't recreate with modern tools the same quality of clothing that they were doing in you know, the dark ages or whatever. It's just a completely, everybody's like, we've been taught to think that they were all dirty and no, they knew how to make their own soap and they were probably cleaner than we might be today.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen some of these kids just have like existential crises on YouTube because they find out that their washer and dryer isn't actually sanitizing their clothes like they thought it was. And if they hang it out on a clothesline, that it's going to get sanitized by the sun. And it's like, oh, isn't this great that they're actually doing this research and they're finding this stuff out? I just love it.
Yes. That is just such fun to point out. I'm often aware that, we had friends, homeschooling friends, that the husband was doing some farming and he was a modern guy, you know, and used all the technology and everything. And they had various stuff, but he decided to try farming, plowing and farming with horses for a while. And it was so interesting because we were over a lot and hearing about how it was going. And he eventually gave it up because it was just, there were too many challenges with it. But part of what we talked about was that so much that was just normal. This is how you do it. This is how you take care of this. And this is how you deal with that. And this is how that knowledge gets lost when people stop doing whatever it is. And then suddenly it's kind of like, how did they do that? And trying to wrap our minds around how to do something like that from the past is much harder. I mean, we're trying to wrap our minds around things today of the technology of today too. So we're, you know, depending on what you're interested in, you right. could be trying to wrap, you know, we're always trying to wrap our heads around something, but,
yes.
but the fact that so much has been not carried on to the next generation, and that it's kind of the skills dropped out. It's like, wow, we are poorer for that in our lives, right?
I think definitely as Bible believers, I think we can really see that, because there are places in the Bible that the writers were assuming the reader knew what they were talking about. And we miss a little bit of connection there if we don't understand what the culture was going through at the time and how various books in the Bible actually connect with each other. And it makes you know, whenever you realize what was going on when the book of Esther was happening in the other books of the Bible, it's like, this is an intricate piece in the whole picture. And if you don't understand that, you know, it can seem like an oddball book that's just kind of plopped in there. Yeah. But once you understand the politics and everything that's going on at the same time, then it's like, oh, it really opens up. And it's like, oh yeah, that's why God put that there.
Yes. That was part of what was so exciting to me when I did the ancient civilizations in the Bible curriculum, and then the revision of that curriculum. I think there'll probably be another revision, Lord willing, and gives me life to continue to do this. I'm going to be 68 this summer, and it's like, wow, I still have so much I want to write anyway, and learn first before I write. Yeah. But that idea that when we understand the context, the historical context of the scriptures, and we understand those civilizations and what was happening, like in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well, that all of it, the context makes a huge difference. And then seeing the interrelationships, been thinking about biblical literacy and how important that is. And it's exactly what you're talking about, seeing how it's all connected, seeing how it fits together. And then my hope and my dream would be that people would also understand the context historically for where these things are happening. Because then you start going, oh, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we've done is, I mean, your stuff was a kicking off point for us in just delving into so many things. I've got Native American background on both sides of my family.
And really?
I didn't get the melanin. I'm missing that part, but I've got it in both sides. So we wanted to delve in and see what was happening there as well. And you can come up with some very, very interesting stuff that actually ties to the Bible and some things that have happened there. And it just, I love the way it likes the world just kind of blossoms for you with this. It's not just one little area of the world. It's how they're all interconnected. These people were isolated. They had trade going back and forth between countries and stuff.
Oh, yes.
and there's a lot of evidence that they had trade going on over here too, you know, in the United States and all of the Americas with, you know, that part, other parts of the world. So, I mean, it just really opens up so much more. You know, evolutionists would like for us to believe that, oh no, you know, the monkey moved from this area to this area and then became an ape and moved from this area to this area. And you know what I'm saying? And just kind of, and it's like, oh no, there was the Tower of Babel and kaboom, it went all over, just like God wanted it to. And
As you were saying, you know, it's all, you know, all over the world, all these things connect. And I thought, he's got the whole world.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's the, I thought, and it's, My whole life was transformed by Jesus when I was a 15-year-old. I completely transformed. And so with all my heart, I follow Jesus. I have given my life to serve him and follow him. But it's just so amazing when you start seeing how all these things really are interconnected, like you were saying about the Native American things that you found. And I adore diving into and finding out those things as well. This is wild. For the last several years, my husband and I have been part by God's wonderful and mysterious ways. We've been part of an African refugee and immigrant church where they mostly don't speak English, and we don't speak Swahili or Kinyarwanda or anything like that. But we've been part of it, and we worship, you know, a lot of times we don't know the words when we sing, but
I love the way they worship. I love the way they worship. Oh, yes, my goodness.
It's
beautiful.
It's so cool. And to see how, you know, like in my world or What in the World Volume 3, for the CDs, I talk about the East African revival that started in the 1930s. Well, a lot of the people that I go to church with, they're, you know, just a few generations before them, they were deeply impacted by that. And all these different people became believers. And now so many of these people that are in our church, I'm going to church with folks that are, you know, impacted by the East African revival and how God has worked in their lives. It's just, it's so amazing to me that he really does have the whole world in his hands.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love it. It's never ending. I mean, you know, we've got however many thousands of years, depending on where you're at on that, you know, of history back here, not millions, thousands, but you know, there's so much to learn. We can't, you know, we can't learn it all. We just can't in our lifetimes, but there's that never ending amount of stuff that we can learn about and learn from, you know, the things that people have gone through before us. There's such lessons in there for what we have today. And I keep trying to tell people, you know, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. And it also says in the Bible that there's nothing new under the sun. So the technology that we have today, and this is a hard thing to wrap your head around in this modern age, but everything that we have today, they had before the flood. So if you think about it, and there's plenty of evidence, they had some kind of flying machines. They had computers, and they've been found. Some of these archaeological pieces have actually been found. It's not a computer like we think of a computer today, maybe, but it was a computer. And it's amazing to go through that and see in archaeology some of the things. And it's like, okay, if they had that technology, then they had to have also had some of the issues that we have today with it as well, you know? Yeah. And if you can just get that fullness and that understanding of how full history is, it wasn't just a bunch of people walking around in sandals and robes for thousands of years. And then kaboom, the Industrial Revolution happened and now we're modern, you know?
Yeah. There are wonderful and amazing and surprising things that took place in antiquity that people can't really explain. My husband and I had a chance to go to Albuquerque last year, and we went over, and I wish I could remember the names of it, or the name of the area, but it was where it's a Native American area from like 1100 and 1200 AD. And to see the archaeological structure, and you go, whoa, this is incredible. And the way it's, oh my goodness, exact right longitude and latitude and all this stuff. I was going, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And this is in the United States. And that's where I learned a lot about how the trade, like you were talking about, the trade to a lot of different countries was going on. And they know that because they found a lot of things there at that place.
Yes.
But where I was headed with all this is the idea that there in every place that we look, there are these amazing indicators of kind of like of God's good creation of the, you know, why are we so creative? It's because we were made in the image and likeness of God. Now, are we God? No. No, he is. Are
That's
we
probably
perfect?
A good thing.
No. And we're finite, not infinite. And we've been dealt, you know, sin is how its impact in the world and all that stuff. But still, even, you know, today, you know, 10,000 years ago, whatever time, you know, you're looking at, and all the way through, there is remarkable creativity and intelligence and beauty that, and there's also the opposite of that, you know, but it all reflects, aspects of what God designed, you know, and what he put into us. And I just, that's what's really exciting to me. So whether we're talking about antiquity, whether we're talking about before the flood or after the flood or in the 1600s or today or on the moon or whatever, wherever we're talking about it, it's like, oh, Lord, you are so good and so amazing. And that he loves us. That what a powerful thing for us to help our kids really understand that the God who created all of this is full of love and faithfulness and all of that. And that's part of what the story of our world, our history is all about, right?
Yeah. It's about eternity. Whenever it comes down to it, it's about preparing all of us for eternity. And
I feel like we've had church here. I'm sorry. I'm not.
We have. Hallelujah. Amen. Right.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is that history and how our kids learn and all of those things that if people are homeschooling, that it's all integrated together. Just like you were talking about with the books of the Bible, they're not isolated, or a scripture in one book of the Bible is not isolated. You got to look at the whole thing. And in the same way,
yes,
all of this is connected, right?
Yes. So, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So what project are you working on right now?
Well, I'm so excited. I'm so glad you asked. I finally realized, you know, that we kind of, our life has changed a lot. As almost 68 years old, we don't, both my husband and I, we no longer have the strength or the interest, really, frankly, to go out to conventions all the time like we used to do. We used to love it. It was lots of fun. And then you start to get too old and your body doesn't rest well. And you go, oh, I'm trying to talk and it's not making any sense. And you say, this is not working anymore.
Yes.
So... So what I am right now doing, and I'm so excited about, is renovating our website. We work with really wonderful people, Christian people who are, that do our website stuff. So I'm working with them to create this new design. And I'm so excited because part of what I'm going to do is I used to do a lot of workshops at conventions on parenting, aspects of parenting and loving your kids. And then there was a whole thing about how kids are smart and how to help them love learning and all those things. And then the stuff about my curriculum and about history. And it's like I've been given this wonderful time now in my life to take everything I've done. Oh my gosh. And then to put it all together in different ways that will just keep feeding out there. I'll keep releasing little bits here and there, and to encourage people, to help them get a vision of this can be wonderful. This can be rich, not perfect. Ha! Right. Homeschooling is not perfect. Homeschooling is a lot of work. I mean, let's be frank about all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's still, it can be so satisfying and so richly rewarding in various ways. And so I really want people to get to know that aspect. And then once I get all that going, which that's a finite project, I'm going to dive back into the American history. I was almost completing American History Year One, which goes from just before First Contact, 1492, to kind of set the stage in all these different countries, all the way through the Civil War. And then Year Two will be from Reconstruction up through, I'm not sure. I was teaching it in a private school hybrid, homeschool, private school thing, and I could only get to about 2000. And I am going, I don't know if I can make it past that. But that's still a work in progress. But I've done a number of lectures that are recorded that I'm really excited about. And I've been putting all the phases together with all the projects. And, oh, I can't wait to get that out. So as soon as I finish my website redesign and all the wonderful things to just be an encouragement to people. Now that I'm not going out anywhere, I can stay home with my dogs and my husband. Yeah.
I totally understand.
Yes. I'm glad you understand. Cause we loved, we loved being with the people. We really did. And it's hard to not have that part, but it's a lot harder to not be able to function.
Yes. Yes. Well, and the Lord has provided such an opportunity in these days for us to share way beyond ourselves and way beyond what ever could have been at a convention. And I love this because then my grandchildren are going to be able to benefit from all this new stuff that you're doing. So that's wonderful as well.
Good. Yeah. Oh, and I'm doing lectures for all the ancient Civ Romans world empires. I taught online classes for a number of years, and I still have someone who's doing it, facilitating it with me. But I have done recorded lectures for each, like two lectures per unit. And World Empires, I'm just finishing off next month, I think. But I'm going to start making those available, too. So people, for years, they would say, oh, Diana, could you do some video? You know, the audio is great, but we'd love to be able to show our kids the maps and all that stuff. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm doing it. So,
and it's funny how we have other people that help us step out of our comfort zone.
Yes. And learn things we didn't know we would ever be able to do. It is.
Yes. You're never too old for some of this.
I'm living proof, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
I have a few friends that are bloggers in their 70s and 80s. And they are amazing. So
that's cool.
You are never too old to learn this stuff.
That's
wonderful. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. If you look up Diana Waring, you'll find me on Facebook, or Diana Waring History Revealed. Either way, I'm on YouTube. So that again is Diana Waring. And it's the Diana Waring with the history stuff. I think there's some other Diana Warings out there. But DianaWaring.com is, you can always get me there. If you want to email Diana@DianaWaring.com. So www.dianawaring.com. Should we spell it in case people are going?
Maybe so, in case people are listening on the road. Yeah.
So DianaWaring.
Wonderful.
or .com or whatever. So Diana at DianaWaring.com.
And I'll have the links in the description as well. And
that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on here. I really appreciate this. This has been such a joy. Such a fun conversation.
Thanks, Danita.
You're welcome. And if you haven't subscribed to the Prairie Dust Trail magazine, the spring magazine will be out here pretty soon as of this recording. It might already be out by the time you're seeing this or listening to it, but pop on over to prairie-trail.com to subscribe. And we're just getting some really good feedback and reviews on that. And remember, you can make it through the dust storms of life with God's divine help.
Amen.